First, let's take a look at our headlines.
President of the Spanish Royal Academy visits Cuba.
Book fair closes successfully in Havana and continues in other provinces.
Washington sanctions against Venezuelan airline Conviasa violates international law.
Mistrial declaring legal proceedings against Venezuelan embassy protectors in the United States.
And now the news in detail.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel Bermúdez met over the weekend with the director of the Spanish Royal Academy and president of the Association of the Spanish Language Academies, Santiago Muñoz Machado. Muñoz Machado, who has been the director of the Academy since January 2019, visited the historical center of Havana on Sunday. On Monday, he's meeting with Cuban jurists at the University of Havana, where he's being received by the rector, Miriam Nicado. The Spanish academic will also participate in the presentation of the Pan-Hispanic Dictionary of Legal Spanish of his authorship, which will take place in the Faculty of Law of Havana University.
The 29th edition of the International Book Fair concluded on Sunday in Havana. Reportedly, 417,619 visitors went to La Cabaña Fortress and other venues of the cultural event. The fair will now continue its course through the rest of the country, closing on April the 12th in Santiago de Cuba. The closing ceremony in Havana took place Sunday in the Nicolás Guillén Hall of the Cabaña Fortress. Alpidio Alonso, Minister of Culture, Tram An Dung, Cultural Counselor of the Embassy of the Socialist Republic of Vietnam in Havana, and Nereida López Labrada, General Secretary of the National Union of Cultural Workers, were present. Juan Rodriguez Cabrera, president of the Cuban Book Institute, announced that more than 1,500 literary actions found space at the popular event, where more than 600 titles were presented and some 604,000 copies were purchased. The Cuba Digital Project was also very popular, with 644,367 free downloads.
U.S. sanctions against Venezuela's state-owned airline Conviasa violate international law. According to Jorge Alvarez, president of the Chamber of Venezuela Air Transport Companies, the only organization with the power to stop a carrier from flying from one country to another is the International Civil Aviation Organization, Alvarez told a local radio station. From a strategic viewpoint, Conviasa flies to a series of destinations that our country's executive branch considers to be fundamental, said Alvarez. The sanctions, coupled with Venezuela's already crisis-hit economy, make it very difficult to find all of the spare parts that guarantee the functioning of the fleet. That affects the country's connectivity, he added. Over the past 2 years, Venezuela's air traffic has fallen 57% despite the efforts of the National Civil Aviation Institute to keep the sector going, said Alvarez. The U.S. Treasury Department announced sanctions against Conviasa last week, and Venezuela has now filed a lawsuit at the International Court of Justice at The Hague for the damage caused by the unilateral sanctions.
In Washington, D.C., U.S. Judge Beryl Howell declared mistrial against the Embassy of Venezuela Protectors Collective after the jury could not reach a verdict. The judge even gave the jury extra time to deliberate. However, they could not reach a unanimous decision. Howell asked for a new trial, but there is still no certainty that it will happen. The four activists, Adrienne Pine, David Paul, Kevin Zies, and Margaret Flowers, were arrested in May 2019 after being accused of interfering with the functions of the U.S. Department of State for staying at the Venezuela's embassy in Washington. They were trying to prevent the administration of Donald Trump from giving the headquarters to the envoys of Venezuelan self-proclaimed President Juan Guaido. During the trial, Judge Howell refused to allow the defense to present its evidence and even claimed that she considered it was U.S. President Donald Trump's decision who the president of Venezuela was. The Venezuelan government, led by Nicolas Maduro, repeatedly declared that the activists were their guests and they were legally allowed to be there, so their detention represented a transgression of international laws that protect the inviolability of diplomatic facilities.
And you've tuned to the news here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the international shortwave radio frequencies of RHC Radio Havana, Cuba. Now let's go back over to our news with Susana Nieves and Jorge Millares.
Cuba is currently forced to purchase medications in distant markets. It has to deal with the increase in import prices of medications, reagents, medical instruments, disposable material, equipment, and spare parts. Young engineer Solani Fajardo Araujo, director of imports of the Import and Export Company of Medical Products of the Ministry of Public Health, Medicuba, knows the drill very well. She told Juventud Rebelde that not only has the blockade against the island intensified during the government of President Donald Trump, its extraterritorial nature has increased even more. She said, "It is not enough for the U.S. government to apply the blockade directly against Cuba. It also sanctions or severely fines entities from other nations that carry out commercial operations with our country, for which we receive more and more refusals, not only from trading companies and factories, but also from banks, shipping companies, and even airlines during the negotiation process."
Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez said Monday that solidarity distinguishes his country when referring to 56 years of international medical cooperation. 56 years of Cuban medical cooperation with a presence in 164 countries and the participation of more than 400,000 health collaborators is evidence of the principles that we defend, Rodriguez wrote on Twitter. "We practice it, as the leader of the Cuban Revolution, Fidel Castro, would say, with deeds, not with beautiful words." On May 23, 1963, a brigade of 56 doctors arrived in Algeria, the first mission of Cuban internationalist medical collaboration. Donald Trump's government has chosen the island's international health cooperation as one of its favorite targets in its anti-Cuba hostility.
Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif says the United States' cowardly assassination last month of senior Iranian anti-terror commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani pushed Washington and Tehran very close to war. Zarif made the remarks in an exclusive interview with NBC News' Richard Engel in Munich on the sidelines of the Munich Security Conference. "We were very close to a war because the United States initiated an act of aggression against Iran in a very, excuse the language, cowardly way," he said. "They couldn't confront General Soleimani in the battlefield, so they hit him during the dark of night through a drone attack on a car carrying him on a peace mission, which is beneath any dignified way of dealing with this," he added. Zarif said U.S. President Donald Trump, who had directly ordered the assassination, was misled to believe that the United States would get away with the act of aggression and that the atrocity would work to boost Washington's security.
Venezuela's Communications Minister Jorge Rodriguez has presented new evidence on a series of corruption acts in which the U.S.-backed opposition lawmaker Juan Guaido is the main protagonist. Rodriguez unveiled a corruption case linking Guaido with Alejandro Betancourt López, who faces trials for laundering $1.2 billion in the United States and $4 billion in Europe. Since the opposition lawmaker has repeatedly denied having ties with such a businessman, Rodriguez showed photos of a meeting held in the Alamein Castle in Spain, which was attended by Betancourt López, Juan Guaido's father, and Rudy Giuliani, who is President Donald Trump's lawyer. Minister Rodriguez recalled that some details of this information had been previously published by Reuters and CNN, although the press would appear not to show that plot of personal connections. The Bolivarian minister also indicated that his country has sued the U.S. government for the theft of foreign assets and bank deposits. The looting equals up to $116 billion.
In a move that appears destined to escalate tensions between the White House and opponents, President Donald Trump is reportedly deploying Customs and Border Protection tactical units across sanctuary cities in the United States to assist with arrests of undocumented people, despite warnings from critics and rights advocates. The New York Times reported on the plan, citing an official who received an email describing the weekend deployment, who read the text to reporters over the phone. CBP spokesman Lawrence Payne confirmed the details. "These are the bad times," data researcher Michael Cayley tweeted of the report. According to the Times, agents from the Border Patrol Tactical Unit are spreading across the country to cities like New York, Detroit, Chicago, Atlanta, Houston, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Boston, and New Orleans to work alongside immigration and customs enforcement officers to arrest people allegedly in the country illegally. Progressives reacted with shock and alarm at the intensification of Trump's already draconian immigration policies provided by the addition of the heavily armed BORTAC units.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
President of the Spanish Royal Academy visits Cuba.
Book fair closes successfully in Havana and continues in other provinces.
Washington sanctions against Venezuelan airline Conviasa violates international law.
Mistrial declaring legal proceedings against Venezuelan embassy protectors in the United States.